The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You can also check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. Can't remember a time in my whole life that I've been this excited for an NBA play-in game. I'm trying to think, what play-in game in the NBA ever excited me like the Warriors and the Lakers tonight? In long history. Pacers, Hornets, no. Wizards, Celtics, nope, nope, this is it. This is the greatest play-in game of all time. The most anticipated. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Obviously, we're going to start with the Lakers and Warriors.
We got to play Lakers basketball. We got to defend at a high rate. We're playing, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year, and Steph. So
our team is rolling, playing great basketball. We're not going to this game thinking it's going to be easy.
The main attraction here. It's here. Lakers versus Warriors. You know, it's funny. We were talking a lot about these stats all day on ESPN, right? And how Steph Curry owns the head-to-head matchup against... Steph Curry owns nothing against LeBron James. If anything, LeBron James owns Steph Curry. Steph Curry, if you look at the numbers, LeBron James's numbers stomp out Steph Curry's, including, like, assists and stuff, right? Now, Steph's teams have better record than LeBron's teams in head-to-head because Steph has had better teammates. Like, way better. That's why... Even though LeBron James is 50% better than Steph. In other words, it's like one and a half Stephs equal to LeBron. And by the way, I know it seems like I'm anti-Steph now. And once upon a time, it seemed like I was anti-Tom Brady or anti-James Harden. But I'm just making a point. I'm not anti-Steph. I love watching Steph play like all of us do. Oh, are you the guy who said, give me Iguodala? Yeah, yeah. Because at that point in his career, Steph hadn't had it hit any really big shots in the finals. Even when he had open looks. And Iguodala had. Iguodala obviously can't get his shot like Steph, can't shoot like Steph, but if they each just have an open look at the basket with the chips on the line, I trust Iguodala. I was on Ryan Russillo's podcast, Ringer podcast, the other day. And I, you know, the analogy is, you know, Alex Rodriguez is one of the greatest players of all time, right? But as a Yankees fan, I'd rather had Scott Brosius or Luis Soho up on the in the plate in a big situation. That's the truth. Not that they're better hitters, but with the chips on the line, I like them more. So now Steph has outgrown that. Just because once upon a time you used to choke doesn't mean that you're going to do that forever. And spare me. Look at his numbers. This is the dumbest argument. Look at his numbers in the finals compared to his numbers regular season. Yeah, I realize that. By the time he was good enough to lead a team and be on teams that went to the finals, he was a better player than he was earlier in his career. So duh. His lifetime averages are going to be better. But if you watched those finals and watched big moments in those finals, Steph usually went away. Which is why, even when the Warriors lucked up and beat the Cavs in the first series, where Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving got hurt, and LeBron was so much better than Steph that he took them six games, even if you look at that series, who was MVP? It was so obvious that LeBron was twice as good as anyone else on either team, that they gave the MVP to Iguodala for the defense he played on LeBron. Steph's played in five finals, never won an MVP of the finals. Well, that's because he sees a lot of defensive... Michael Jordan saw a lot of defensive attention, too. And guess what? He scored anyway. All the greats do. And Steph is great. And given enough reps in that situation, he shook the jitters early. And against Toronto recently, he came up big. So I'm off of the Steph isn't clutch thing. Because it's not true anymore. It once was, it's not anymore. And heading into this game tonight, Steph is going to have to be otherworldly for the Warriors to win. Because they got one guy like that on the Warriors. They got two guys like that on the Lakers. Two guys. Wiggins is a nice player. He's not even an all-star. Draymond Green is an all-star. He's not a scorer. LeBron and AD are both MVP caliber players when healthy. And whatever their health, whatever level of themselves they are, they're out on the floor. And we saw AD, you know, shake the rust and beat teams without LeBron late in the season, like Phoenix and Denver. And he did so by being the best player on the floor. And here's the thing. AD is considered the third best player in this series? I'm not so sure. I mean, I would agree with it. If you asked me to rank the players in this series right now, I'd say LeBron 1, Steph 2, AD 3. And a lot of people are saying Steph 1 right now. And I can appreciate that the way Steph is playing and because LeBron hasn't looked 100% healthy. But I think people put a huge emphasis on scoring. And LeBron can influence the game in many ways that Steph can't. It's good that the ball doesn't stick with Steph. That's great. But Steph is not the passer LeBron is. LeBron's a much better point guard than Steph Curry. He's really a point guard, and he's much better at it than Steph Curry. LeBron's a great defender. Steph's not a good defender. I do respect the fact that Steph plays defense. He's physically present on defense. He's just not a very good defender. You know, those teams that were great when the Warriors had these like great defensive squads, they'd hide Steph. Like, everyone else in the starting five could play defense. Iguodala, all-time great. Draymond, all-time great defensively. Klay Thompson, one of the best defensive two guards in the league. Everywhere you look, yeah, Bogut was a very good defensive player. Everywhere you look, there was a terrific defensive player, and then there was Steph. LeBron turned into a great defensive player in Miami, and AD went on First Take last year and said, I challenged LeBron to be great defensively. LeBron answered the challenge. The Lakers are the best defensive team in basketball, and even if you want to argue it, certainly you wouldn't argue they're one of them. Lakers got this tonight, right? Unless Steph goes off. LeBron James averages over 30 points a game against Steph Curry. That's the second most against any all-star he's faced in his career. Because LeBron recognizes Steph is so great, I have to do extra. And the difference in the playoffs has been, and when it matters has been, when LeBron needs to do extra, even over his normally otherworldly standards, he consistently does. You know, you see lines consistently in the playoffs. 48, you know, 12 and 10 from LeBron. Stuff like that. Like, on the regular. When he knows his team needs it. LeBron and AD. Even if LeBron physically right now is not capable of it because of his ankle, he's got AD. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Jason Tatum, my God, 50 points. Celtics beat the Wizards. And you know something? The Wizards can't defend anyone or anything. Even during their great late season surge, that was all the offense and the pace with Westbrook and Beal. They were winning games like 133-132 in regulation. They were winning by small margins in very high scoring games. Against you, not such great teams and sometimes occasionally a pretty good team. But so, like, Tatum he's going up against a team that can't defend. I'm not even that. 50 is an amazing game. I wasn't that surprised. Like, Tatum, I've maintained for a couple years now, has the ability to maybe one day be the best offensive player on a championship team. Very few people who've ever lived have been that. Tatum could be that. But what was shocking to me was Westbrook. Because the game before, leading into Wizards-Celtics, which is the main event, Pacers-Hornets, the way the Hornets came out so flat, like, guys, where's the intensity? And I actually tweeted a picture of Westbrook entering the arena. Because I'm making fun of the Hornets, like Michael Jordan's got to be blowing a gasket, right? Lack of intensity in an elimination game. And I tweet a picture of Westbrook who's like, that is intensity. And he came out like the Hornets came out in game one. That didn't look like Westbrook. I've been critical of Westbrook saying he could do better in the playoffs. He's just not a shooter, right? But he could do better in the playoffs, but he wants it so bad. I think sometimes he pulls too hard. He has to ease up just a little. Greatest pitcher in his prime of all time, starting pitcher Sandy Koufax, had a pitching coach once upon a time in Brooklyn, told him, you know, you don't have to throw 100. You know, throw 95 and put it where you want it. Turn him into the greatest pitcher ever. That's what I feel like telling Westbrook sometimes. But he didn't go from 100 to 95. He went from 100 to 50. Yo, Russ, where was the intensity? I was shocked. Shocked. Now, look, I know better, but if I didn't know better, I think maybe you don't want to see Brooklyn in the first round. Maybe that's what it is. Rather see, you know, Philly in the first round. Maybe. Because it was inexplicable. Just, I'm not even talking about the production. I mean the body language, everything. It's one thing. I thought Russell Westbrook was going to will himself to be the best player in that game. It's one thing to be outplayed by the best player on the other team, Jason Tatum. It's another thing to also be outplayed by the point guard on the other team. You know, and that's no knock against Kemba Walker. He's a baller. But you know what that music means? It's Father Knows Best with Michael Thompson, the Lakers play-by-play guy, right here on 710 ESPN. That's for the LA affiliate. For everyone else, that's the LA, that's the ESPN LA station. Michael Thompson on the Goodyear hotline right now. How are you, Michael?
I'm not doing good. I'm not doing good, Max. I don't know what Deontay Wilder is trying to do to throw a wrench into this fight in Saudi Arabia. What's going on, Max? Why don't you straighten out this boxing mess?
Yeah, I got to say, like, legally, apparently he had a case. It was an experienced arbitrator. Michael Thompson's talking about the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship was going to be on the line. Saudi Arabia, August 14th. Tyson Fury, best heavyweight in the world. Anthony Joshua, the guy with the best case against them. And Deontay Wilder won arbitration that says Tyson Fury has to fight Deontay next. And the reason that's an issue for guys like Michael Thompson is Tyson Fury had a long layoff, was suicidal, over 300 pounds, addicted to drugs, you know, lost all this weight, was not even the best version of himself, took several years off, came back and fought a draw with Deontay Wilder where he picked himself up off the deck in a fight really Tyson Fury, I thought, won. Most people did. And then in the rematch, beat the brakes off Deontay Wilder and knocked him out in five rounds. So like, no one really is anxious to see Fury and Wilder again. They want to see Fury Joshua, and now this arbitration ruling means that it's scuttled maybe Fury Joshua. We'll see. Anyway, Michael Thompson, I have you on to talk about basketball today. It's Lakers Warriors. That's the matchup, Michael. Michael, do you have faith in LeBron and AD's health?
I mean, yeah. Even if they're a little bit sore, you know, so what? Time to Kobe up. Time to get that Mamba mentality. Mm. Nothing's broken. Nothing's torn on these guys. And if they are dealing with a little bit of a soreness, everybody's dealing with soreness this time of year. LeBron's physically a strong, tough guy. Anthony Davis is a tough guy. So they'll be fine. So don't worry about their health, Max. Karl Malone said it best. If your uniform is on and you're on the court, you are ready to play. Don't worry about it.
Now, I want to know something from you, Michael. You're the Lakers play-by-play guy. You're a two-time champion with the Lakers. You love the Lakers. You bleed purple and gold. And yet your son, Michael, your flesh and blood, one of the best players in the game. Everyone loves Klay Thompson. Hurt this year, but a champion with Golden State. You must have a special affinity for the Golden State Warriors. Do you feel any divided loyalties heading into tonight's game?
Of course I have a special affinity for the Warriors and their success, especially when Klay is active and when he's playing and healthy. Of course, I want to see him win. That's your son. That's your child. That's your son or daughter. No matter what you do in life, you want your son or daughter to achieve more than you have, to be happier in life than you are happy. So definitely whenever Klay's out there competing, I want him to win. But, of course, I also want the Lakers to win. So in that situation, when he's playing and the Warriors are playing against the Lakers, it's like I can't lose either way.
Right. But what about when he's not playing? I'm sure you still feel very fond about Steph Curry, your son's teammate, the Splash Brothers. Is there anything in you that still gets joy if the Warriors succeed against the Lakers? Especially, Michael, be honest, this is not win or go home for the Lakers. They get another shot if they lose to the Warriors.
No, I'm all Lakers, baby, because I don't want the Lakers to have to go to Salt Lake City. I'd rather them face Phoenix, even though I respect Phoenix. Phoenix is a more inexperienced team, their first go-around, their first rodeo, even though Chris Paul is a longtime veteran. So I think that would be a better matchup for the Lakers in the first round because Utah's loaded with veterans, you know, been deep in the playoffs before. So it's not that the series against Phoenix will be easy, just that it's best to go against an inexperienced team in the first round.
You know, I got to say, Michael, I understand what you mean when you say your son, you're always happy for their success. Like, when Rodge or Brendan on this show do something well, I feel a special pride that only a father can feel. Michael, let me ask you this. Can the Lakers slow Steph down tonight?
You know, we've done a good job on Steph. He has not scored 30 points on the Lakers all year. He's averaged 23 points against the Lakers this year. So whatever formula that Frank Vogel and the Lakers have has been working so far. Now, other teams, like my other son Michael said, other teams have tried to slow down Steph with the double teams way out to half court. And we're just going to have to try to do that again and make sure not to let him get going. And if Steph is going to shoot threes, make him have to shoot him from 30, 35 feet out, and don't let him put his toes or get open looks with his toes up against the three-point line. Because once he gets there, from that range, Max, as we know, that's like a free throw for Steph.
It's a layup. It's a dunk. If you let him shoot a regular three, he doesn't even know what to do. He's like, really? But by the way, he could shoot it from 35 feet. It's like someone else taking a regular three. Michael, let me ask you this.
At least the percentage goes down, though, from that far out.
Right, right. Let me ask you this. Ty Lue said today he doesn't care what anyone thinks. He wanted a healthy team and this and that. And I understand Ty Lue saying that I care about preserving the health of my team more than seeding. That's one thing. But there's a theory that I don't think is unreasonable that goes something like this. Ty Lue felt that to meet the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs is dangerous, but that since LeBron and AD have kind of lingering nagging injuries, if you let through attrition, those guys get worn down a little more, the chances to beat the Lakers is better later in the playoffs. Now, whatever the case may be, do you think that Ty Lue and the Clippers ducked the Lakers?
I can't bring my basketball DNA, my competitive DNA, to think that way, Max. Obviously, you are more concerned with some matchups than others, but I cannot believe that a guy with the pedigree of a Kawhi Leonard and the skills of a Paul George and confidence of a Paul George are afraid to play any team, whether it's the Lakers or anyone. So I can't imagine that they feel that way. So, no, I agree with Ty. I don't think it came down to trying to avoid a certain matchup. I just think he was thinking about, you know, taking care of his players and making sure they were 100% healthy.
I agree. And you know something else, Michael? Even if you're the head coach, the job is, in fact, not to win every game. The job is to win the championship. And if the coach feels that playing a certain team gives them a better chance to win, or resting certain players and just suffering in the seeding gives them a better chance to win, whether I agree with the coach on that specific decision or not, he's the coach. He has that responsibility to make that decision, and I got to respect it.
Yeah, you know, it's you have to respect Ty and his decisions. We're not in the locker room. We're not in those huddles. So all we can do is speculate from the outside. But like I said, man, I see Reggie Jackson, and I see, what's his name, Patrick Beverley. I can't imagine that Patrick Beverley's afraid to play anyone the way he competes.
Right, for sure. Michael, when you look at the matchup tonight, it's anticipated to be the most watched NBA game of the year, except for maybe the finals, because it's the Lakers-Warriors, because of LeBron, Steph, and AD. But there are some supporting players on either team that you can focus in on. Obviously, with the Warriors, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, who had a very good year, including a good year shooting the ball. And on the Lakers, some of the Lakers' supporting cast, not just like THT, who came along, but KCP, who was big in last year's playoffs, the addition of Andre Drummond. Do you play him alongside AD, or do you have him soak up minutes when AD is on the bench? When you survey the non-superstars in this series, who do you think becomes the most important tonight, or in this series, in this game tonight? Who do you think is the most important of the non-superstars?
I think it's going to be Andre Drummond. We all know the Lakers have good perimeter players and shooters out on the perimeter. We all know who they are. But Andre Drummond is just too big, too strong for anybody on the Warriors to deal with. That whole Laker front line, including Montrezl Harrell, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and you added Andre Drummond, 275 pounds of agility and athleticism. Man, he is going to have free reign to do whatever he wants in the paint tonight. Lakers are just too big, too good, too strong up front.
The great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. That was Father Knows Best. Michael, I always appreciate it when you come on. We'll get you on Max Unboxing soon enough. Michael graciously comes on as a boxing adam. Michael's one of the best voices in boxing. He's just not in boxing. Anthony in Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Love the show. Hey, I just want to reiterate your point about Steph and LeBron. I don't know. I just feel like Steph's the greatest shooter of all time, but in the playoffs, he really hasn't had that game or that moment. Like, I can even think about AI when he played against the Lakers like that. I think it was game one. He had, like, over 50 points, stepped over Ty Lue, made that shot.
Yeah.
I just feel like until
Steph has one of those moments. He has one of those moments now, but it was in a losing effort. When KD and then Klay went down, Steph had a great game against Kawhi and the Raptors. It looked like, okay, here comes grown man time, and Kawhi's taking over. And I may have tweeted about it, but I was making jokes about it. Like, here it goes. There go. Watch Steph go into a shell. Here comes Kawhi. And Steph didn't go into a shell. Steph started nailing threes, and the Warriors won. So even though it was in a losing effort, I started noticing, no, Steph is taking charge in a way, even with a lot of defensive attention, that he didn't when he was younger. Just because a guy has come up small in the biggest moments in the past doesn't mean he's doomed to be that kind of player forever. Given enough reps in pressurized situations, great players will usually eventually revert to form, become themselves again. They just needed enough time to get comfortable. Now, guys like Michael Jordan or Kawhi Leonard and obviously Kobe Bryant, they were born to play in those big moments. Like, they didn't have to acclimate themselves to the big moments. It was natural for them. But guys like James Harden and Steph Curry, it wasn't. And they had to acclimate themselves. But it seems to me that Steph has done that now and can be relied upon in the clutch. Father Knows Best was on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Ty Lue had a message for those who felt the Clippers were ducking the Lakers. The football offseason's always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season, obviously. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/MAX.
KJC.
With LeBron James, the whole game changes. When he steps onto the floor inside that locker room, for whatever it is, the energy that he brings to the table and heightens the performance of others around him.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin tomorrow morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. What did Ty Lue have to say about the Clippers ducking the Lakers? Because the Clippers pretty clearly didn't try and win the last game of the season. And a lot of people took that as, they interpreted it as, okay, the Clippers don't want the Lakers in the first round. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Ty Lue's denying that they tried to avoid the Lakers. They rested Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and other players in two losses to end the season, dropping from third to fourth in the playoff seeding, right? So no Lakers. Ty Lue said, I don't give a damn what anybody else thinks on the outside. We decided to go health over anything else. We finally got our team healthy, and that's what we focused on. Now, I'll take him at his word. And I agree. When Greg Popovich used to tell Tim Duncan, don't even suit up. Don't even get on the plane. We're sitting you out, even for a nationally televised game. I get it. Because the Spurs' competitive job back then is not to worry about the business of the NBA. If you allow the business of the NBA to affect your competitive decisions, that's actually unethical. So Popovich knew, I'm not tasked with winning any or competing any or showcasing any of my stars in any nationally televised game. I'm tasked with winning a championship. And along those lines, a head coach is like a chess player. Sometimes you sacrifice a pawn. Sometimes you sacrifice pieces to go get the king. That's what you do. And if Ty Lue looks at the king, at LeBron James, and says the best way to take him out is by avoiding him in the first round because that's when he and AD will be at their healthiest, but if I give it time, they'll be less healthy later on, and that's the best way to take the king, then he would do that. If that's not even a consideration, I might disagree. I'd say, no. Get them early when they're cold. Don't give them time, because if they finish up series quickly, they have time to rest. Nah, get them early when they're cold and they're not in rhythm. And Schroeder just got back, and LeBron just got back, and AD just got back. So I might disagree with that decision, but I could respect it if the dude is like, if Ty Lue, if the coach is like, well, this is how I think I win it, you know, best way to win a championship. This is the path that optimizes my chances of winning. But especially if coach is like, I'm just worried about our own health. I don't give a damn who we play. To hell with who we play. I want to get healthy. I respect that. I respect that even more. Because the load managing with Kawhi in Toronto worked. Maybe it backfired the next year in LA. But in both cases, the idea was not to make the fans happy or the media happy or what, not to do business for the NBA. The idea was that no one game is important. Those are pawns. We may have to sacrifice those to go get the king. And Kawhi started last season, you know, trolling the king, basically saying, I'm coming to get the king. But they didn't get there. They didn't get there, and the Clippers better be careful. They've never been to a conference finals. It would be so devastating for this franchise to once again not get to a conference finals. Especially with the perception that they ducked the Lakers in the first round. Lakers fans, do you like that? Would you like the Clippers to finally make a conference finals so you can beat them? Or is that even too much success to allow the, you know, little brother to have? Esteban in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, you are cold-blooded. You are the best debater.
Correct.
LeBron got this hands down.
Yeah. What's that? What's hands down?
LeBron and them, they got this hands down.
Tonight, you mean?
They've been through this before. Yeah, they're going to go all the way to the finals. They got it.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're right. It would be an amazing story if they did. You want to see them come out of this game healthy. You know, more than anything, if you say, would I rather win this game and come out where LeBron or AD's health gets worse, or lose the game but get healthy going forward? I'd rather lose this game and get healthy going forward. Because I think a healthy Lakers team, I know a healthy Lakers team is going to beat a Spurs or Memphis team, you know, in an elimination game. And then I'd rather have a healthy Lakers team against Utah than a banged up one against Phoenix. But I think the Lakers can have both. I think they can beat the Warriors and knock wood, come out healthy, and make a run through the West. John in Indiana, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, love the show. I agree with most of what you said. I got one quick take, and I'm interested in your response with what Michael Thompson said about Andre Drummond being the non-superstar who is going to have an influential factor. If you want to base that on his size, I agree with that. But I grew up in Michigan, a lifelong Pistons fan. I watched him. He's drafted. Difficult to finish at the rim. Doesn't seem to have that explosive just finishing capability. If you want to say he's going to get rebounds and influence on defense, blocks like that, I think that's fair. But from an offensive standpoint...
But you know what, John? John, you know what about Drummond? I hear what you're saying. Drummond is an above-average player at his position. If you took 30 centers, he's you know, better than the 15th best center. But the point is that I think the way the Lakers probably optimize the roster is not necessarily Drummond and AD if that's not working, and they haven't had a lot of time together and haven't looked great together on the court when they're on the court together. But if you have a guy like Andre Drummond playing the other team's second unit, and you need to keep AD healthy and have Drummond soak up some of those, he could soak up minutes, you know, at the 4 and 5, let's say, or you play AD at the 4 or 5, so you leave a bunch of minutes at the 5 off the bench for Drummond, and you have him against the second unit, Drummond can be a huge kind of game-changing force. Because if the Lakers bench can stay within a plus minus of a couple points, even if it's minus a couple points, the Lakers starters will take care of the rest. By the way, there is a big debate in baseball right now between the old school and the new school. Tony La Russa, whose teams in Oakland and St. Louis, everyone suddenly had home run years like they've never had before, right in the teeth of the steroids era, but who knows? Anyway, that Tony La Russa has a lot to say about the unwritten rules of baseball. Which side am I on? Find out coming up. It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning, good. All right, maybe not that good, but pretty good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month. Up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract. All on America's best networks. By the way, to me, that's the best part of the whole thing. Now, if I were running the company, I would say, just keep saying that. Up to 50% less than the other guys with no contract on America's best networks. Sells itself. All right. Old school Tony La Russa or new school in baseball? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The NBA play-in tournament is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Grizzlies host the Spurs. Find out which one of them is going to lose to the Lakers, followed by Warriors at Lakers. And that's only if the Lakers lose to the Warriors. Otherwise, Warriors against one of those teams is an interesting game. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Anyone still want to argue against the playing game? How good is this? White Sox manager Tony La Russa. He of Oakland A's and St. Louis Cardinals fame, recall that he had a lot of success as the manager of the Oakland A's, the team credited with being the flashpoint for the steroids era. Guys hitting home runs like it was going out of style. Some guys who had never really hit a bunch of home runs before. Then he goes to St. Louis, and lo and behold, the same magic follows him in the teeth of the performance-enhancing era. Suddenly, everyone on the team is hitting, having a career year with, you know, power. But, and he's a great genius manager. He called Yermin Mercedes, who is his player, he called him swinging on a 3-0 pitch a big mistake. You know why he made a mistake? Because he hit a home run for Tony La Russa's team. That was a mistake, according to Tony La Russa. He was disappointed because he swung on a 3-0 pitch in the ninth inning against the Twins with Chicago, La Russa, and Yermin Mercedes' team up 15-4. Big mistake, La Russa said before Tuesday's game versus Minnesota. Twins reliever Tyler Duffy was ejected Tuesday night in the seventh for throwing behind Mercedes. And manager Rocco Baldelli, good center fielder with Tampa before he got hurt back in the day, was also tossed. La Russa says there's no rift in the White Sox clubhouse and amid the sportsmanship debate, coming off his public criticism of his rookie slugger, because that's renewed the unwritten rules debate, right? Lance Lynn had a dissenting opinion, and La Russa said, Lance has a locker, I have an office. He's right about that. He's the manager. Listen to Tony La Russa on his thoughts of Mercedes swinging and hitting a home run for La Russa's team on a 3-0 pitch.
There's a sportsmanship, respect for the game, respect for your opponent that's real. It has to be the philosophy, and we follow it. I've been taught it. And, the fact that he's a rookie who's excited helps explain why he just was clueless, but now he's got a clue.
Well, someone's clueless, La Russa. Here's the thing about Tony La Russa. In spite of the fact that the two teams he presided over who had the most success were in the teeth of the PED era, and wherever he went, extraordinary offensive explosions from players seemed to follow in the teeth of the PED era. In spite of that, if someone said, is Tony La Russa a good manager? I would say yes. Yes, he is. But his idea that you don't, like, sportsmanship, I understand. I do think he has a point there. You're up 15-4 in the ninth inning. A position player is pitching for the other team, throwing 50 miles an hour. Well, maybe just put them out of their misery, right? Like, let's get the game wrapped up. On the other hand, someone would say, look, number one, are they going to stop trying to win? Because when they do, we will. You know, there's a good argument that playing the game the right way is trying to win. That respecting the game, respecting your opponent, is playing as hard as you can against them in all instances. But I do understand. It's not like I don't think he has a point of view that is legitimate there. Like, guys, we're winning by 11 runs in the ninth inning. You know, we don't have to show them up kind of thing. But him saying that he's clueless, now he has a clue because we don't swing 3-0 when you're up 11 runs. So you're not swinging 3-0 because you're caring about your on-base percentage. Like, let's teach discipline. You're doing it to help the other team. Hey, we know we got this. Let's not rub it in. But Yermin Mercedes is like 27, 28 years old, spent his whole career in the minors clawing, trying to get his way to the major leagues. You know, by the way, when he goes to arbitration and everything, they're going to look at his numbers. And by the way, just from a purely ethical point of view, you're always supposed to be trying to win the game. Do as well as you can. Here's Buster Olney from Greeny today on Tony La Russa.
I've always thought of myself as old school, but when you really break it down and think about what some of the rules are, they're pretty stupid. I mean, think about the absurd position that the old school Tony La Russa have taken on this whole situation, where their feeling is it's okay to quit, right? It's okay to throw a position player out there who's throwing 47 miles per hour. And it's also okay if you don't like the count that the hitter swings in, you get to drill the hitter with a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. That is so stupid.
Well, the thing about La Russa here, and again, I'm saying that he does have a point of view here that I don't think you can just dismiss, but the arrogance with which he is certain that he's right. Tony La Russa, his IQ to me does not seem high enough to be able to speak with that level of arrogance. You know, his baseball IQ can, you know, for by the standards of the way the game was taught to him is very high. But the way the game is played has changed. And by the way, the game he once learned was not played nearly as efficiently as it is today. He ain't smart enough to make that comment. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.